Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. John Bradbury's here, too, ladies and gentlemen. John's back, and we're continuing our series on helping people who are wanting to start a small business. I'll get it out that way. Hopeful small business startups. How to help them get off the ground. And of course, if you're already started, if you already have a business, we're going to talk about lots of things that are going to help you too. John is a consultant. He's been also an investor and advisor to businesses. And just like yours, he's the author of Six Secrets to Startup Success. And he's a member of our Brain Trust. John Bradbury, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's good to have you back, John.
Great to be back.
John, one of the things I said when I was telling the audience that you were going to be joining us is why I was just alluding to the fact that in my career, in my long career, my decades-long career, I've never seen a time when it was more difficult to pull off the startup thing. The economy's been tough. That's one thing, but you know, people start businesses. You know, that's usually when most of us start businesses, because a lot of times we get laid off because of the economy's tough, and then we turn around and start a business. That's exactly what I did in '89. But we've got an extra degree of difficulty right now that's still there, we're still dealing with, and that's this capital markets issue. It's tougher. Let me rephrase that. A startup is, in my opinion, is more likely to have to bootstrap their business than have it be funded by bank loans or home equity capital or that kind of thing, the kind of things that's been done in the past. What do you think?
I agree, and there's actually quite a bit of research that's been done that suggests that bootstrapping is advantageous, you know, meaning having to build your business on the backs of early revenue is actually, in many ways, it forces a new owner to pay attention to the customer, to really pay attention to the marketplace. And so there's a lot to be said for that. At the same time, you know, I find that people who are starting their own business often see the world through rose-colored glasses, and they underestimate how much money they'll need, how long it will take. And so I always advise, you know, plan, think about what is your path to profitability, really think it through at a detailed level, how much is it going to cost you to get to that break-even point and beyond, and then find a way to have access to twice as much capital as you think you need.
Well, there's so many things that you just said that bear commenting on and developing a little bit with you, John. Number one, I like what you said about customers. There is no better capital than the customer's sales.
I love that. Than
what customers give you. If you want to, you know, that's what I tell startups all, you know, whenever I have an opportunity, you know, well, how can I get capitalized? Well, do you have any customers? Well, no. Well, you know what? That's the best source of capital because
it's one of the first things a seasoned investor is going to pay attention to
Right.
Do you have any real revenue?
Do people actually want your stuff? Are they willing to pay you for it? But more importantly, are they willing to come back and do it again? Do you have repeatability? That's one thing. The other thing is this. You know, I thought back on when I started my business. It probably wasn't accurate to say I was undercapitalized because I didn't have any capital. In fact, I was in debt, but the thing is, if you started a business with several thousand dollars that you'd saved up or borrowed or whatever, and somebody invested, if you've never run a business, you're dangerous with that money at that moment, aren't you?
That's right, and you know, I include in the capital equation just what it takes you to live. you know, personal expenses and resources. You know, everybody, they may say, you know, you started a business without any capital, but you're affording your living in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And if being able to scrap and get that done is one of the hallmarks of, you know, what we think of as the classic entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But, I think that the two sides of the equation, one is how you find capital, and then the other is what you do with it.
Right. That's such a good point because the how you do what you do with it. If you have never run a business, you're going to misallocate the capital you're going to buy. You're going to take current income and buy something that you should have used long term sources for, some kind of a 36-month loan or something like that. If you can, you know, which by the way is not impossible to get these days from a bank. Those banks like those kinds of loans. But if you have, it might seem bizarre for me to say this, but folks, it might be the best thing for your startup that you can't go to a bank and borrow money right now. John, would you agree with that?
I see that all the time, that people who otherwise would, you know, let's say it's even just a, you know, $50,000 line of credit that someone's obtained, it gives them a sense of complacency, perhaps, that they can spend a little more.
Right.
Maybe do some things that are a little bit of a gravy versus, you know, really the meat of the issue.
Or they accelerate an acquisition, a purchase, or a strategy. They accelerate that. They get ahead of themselves, and they have the money to fund it. And I mean, the only thing more dangerous than not having the money to fund a project that you know will work is having more money than you need to fund a project that you know will work.
That's right, especially if you don't have that market validation. You don't have
right.
paying customers yet.
Right.
Because businesses can veer in some strange directions based on the founder's beliefs.
If you, folks, here's the tough love statement. I think John will agree with me. If you, this is not fun. It is painful. It is not something that anybody wants. But I will tell you that your long-term success could really be dependent heavily upon how tough your bootstrapping days were. John, would you agree with that?
I agree. I agree. And there's a difference between bootstrapping or incubating your idea, proving the concept.
Yeah.
Once you have
let's differentiate those two. What's the difference between those two things that John just said? After these messages, John Bradbury is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.